Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday afternoon. As always, we hope your weekend has been as enjoyable as ours has been. We hope you're enjoying yourself. And we hope you're ready to sit back, relax, and enjoy the show with us. With that, I open up the floor to my co-host. What's our boy got for him today?
What up, world? Your boy Bone. What's good?
What's going on?
That's all we're going to give you. That's it. So, just be fine with that for right now. With that, we'll move into today's show. And then like we always like to do on our Sunday and Wednesday show, we're going to open the show up with the In the Note. First topic on the In the Note. Aaron Hernandez, indicted in double homicide. Aaron Hernandez, of course, is the ex-player for the Patriots, tight end for the New England Patriots. Suffolk County, Massachusetts, grand jury indicted Hernandez with murder of two men who were not gang members. They were not criminals. They were not much more than two friends out on and out a night in town in Boston. Hernandez is being called a trigger man in the incident. Allegedly, he pulled up next to him at a red light and fired a .38 caliber gun, injuring one, killing two, and two escaped. Now, the catch to this is, Hernandez, this has nothing to do with what we already aware of, the fact that he's in jail right now because he's supposed to kill an acquaintance. Mm-hmm. This is two additional murders he's been indicted.
Oh, this is not the same?
No. He's been indicted on two additional murders, which they go back to the fact of the first murder. When they was investigating, they found a white Forerunner in one of his relatives' house, a Toyota Forerunner, that they found later to be on tape following these two gentlemen that was killed from this club out of the parking lot. So he circled the parking lot a couple times, then he followed them out, and allegedly he pulled up next to him and he shot him a couple times.
Well, my understanding, if I understand things correctly, the reason why he allegedly killed the one that he's in jail for is because he knew
about
the other two. And he threatened to tell. He was trying to extort him, I think.
And the other dude, that the reports are saying that was with him, another acquaintance with him that night when this incident supposed to happen, is the dude that is suing him that he supposed to shot outside a club in Florida.
So basically,
Buddy's a killer.
He's a real
deal.
Buddy is a killer. Whoa.
Says a star football player calmly hunting down innocent victims on the streets of Boston.
You know, they're going to vent, how you said that?
What that?
Villainize. They're going to do that. I understand that. They're trying to win a case. But if those are facts.
And they saying, like, they would have never known when he was attached to this murder. They didn't put that together.
Whoa.
Because they found the Forerunner looking into the other murder. This is how it all came back together. But this is the crazy part. All this happened 6 weeks prior to him signing a $40 million contract with the New England Patriots.
It just, man, some classic case, man. Classic case of stupidity.
Yeah.
There is nothing that should be that serious to where you're going to risk, even if you weren't playing football and getting millions and millions.
Just going out and doing that.
Going out and taking people's life like that, I mean, really. But add the fact that you set for life. Now.
Yeah. Like, why do you need to do
that? Why is that?
Why you got to do this play football?
That's crazy, man. This is it. Because you look at it and you're like, okay, even if that's what you were, you would think the money and the fame would change you now to say, I can't do that. But it's like he was just who he was.
Where is he from? I got to do some research on that.
From Miami?
Hello.
I'm not sure. But I know I had heard one time something happened, but it was a disconnect after he lost his father or something.
Keeping it real, going too far.
Yeah,
really.
But they say he was a mess at Florida, too. A lot of it went under the rug, but they say he was a mess at Florida, too. I don't know. I wish him. I
wish the family.
The best. Yeah, I can't say I wish him the best. I wish him understanding.
I wish the family that he's affected. He's innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
In the eyes of the law. But, you know, if any of this is true, man, I feel sorry. And I'm praying for the families that he's affected.
And where is your team? And I don't mean your teammates on the football team. Like, your team of people who are around you.
Mm.
You had nobody around you to be the same.
And that's all that was into this.
Yeah.
And if they went into this, they can't come in and be affiliated with you now because they don't want to be around this. And that's probably what it is. Because who else gonna hang with him? I ain't. I go to the club. He shot dude, went to the club with him, and I. The other dude come up dead. No, I ain't hanging with Buddy.
Wow. You. They better do.
They ain't gonna do that. Wow. You better do that. That's suicide. Well.
That's sad, man.
Yeah, that's a sad case, man. But I had to point it out, and I knew. At first, when I heard it, I thought too that it was the same thing. They were talking about the old murder. Then it was like, wow, he indicted. So he really indicted for three murders in two different cases.
It's crazy.
Check this out. A little lighter note, but a little off the hook. Mom can be banned from ranting on Facebook. A New Jersey appellate court has ruled that a mother's rights were not violated by a judge ruling that barred her from ranting about her children and ex-husband on Facebook.
The judge barred her from ranting.
Right.
And they're saying that that's okay.
The Philly court said the ruling, it didn't violate her right.
Oh, it didn't.
Okay, well, why she was in court in the first place?
No. Let me read it back. A New Jersey appellate court has ruled that a mother's rights were not violated. So when he barred her, that's not a violation.
No,
when the appellate court was ruling on the judge's ruling of
right.
her being banned.
Right.
The appellate court ruled that it was not a violation of her being banned.
Right. So they've got it wrong twice is what I'm saying. The first judge got it wrong.
By banning, you said.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the appellate or whoever they are
right.
got it wrong for not overturning it. How is that not a violation of...
Right. Law? And that's the same thing I was thinking when I seen the topic. So as it goes into it, it says the judge in 2011 was ordered a special condition of the woman's probation stemming from an attempt to kidnap
okay.
her two children and take them to Canada.
That's what I mean.
Then it goes on and says the prosecutor and ex-husband family had argued that the woman's Facebook postings were frightening. Her referencing was to the Book of Revelation, serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer, Satan, and Adolf Hitler. She reported the order violated her rights of free speech.
Absolutely.
And the due process because it was too vague. The appellate court said it disagreed, finding the order was specific and didn't prevent her from making posts about other things.
Listen, if you say the right to free speech, that means I can talk about whatever I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't say I have the right to free speech on certain subjects.
Right.
Like, I don't
get
it.
Yeah, I totally what you're saying.
If we have the right to free speech, I can talk about what I want to talk about.
I'm pretty sure what they're going to say or what they found the justification in this was because it caused a threat, her ranting, and it frightened or it became to where it was an issue, the ranting. Warranted enough that they were scared, they can ban her from that, but they can't ban her from everything because the appellate court said it was specific.
Okay. If I get on Facebook every day for the next week and say the world going in, 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 somebody might be scared.
Yeah, that's true. But
so now I can't say the world going in on Facebook?
But if you try to end the world,
yeah.
She tried to kidnap the children for real.
That's what I'm saying.
Right now, the action, I get it. We're talking.
But you can go to jail for a threat.
Then you be stuck in the circle. Who determines what's threatening?
That's the question.
Who determines
the court in this case interpretation?
That is what is considered a threat or not is merely interpretation. So obviously this court, this judge,
mm-hmm.
took whatever she was saying to the point where he felt like it was a physical threat or even maybe he could have took a stance of bullying almost. And yeah, unfortunately. Yeah,
I get what you're saying.
I agree with you,
but I haven't seen this happen before. And then to a certain extent, I don't really care about the talking on the Facebook. But if she's going to try to kidnap the kid,
why is she not in jail? Is my question.
Man, why is she going
to
kidnap her own kids?
And go to Canada. It's some kind of issue going on between her and the ex-husband. Because it said the ex-husband and his family. You know what I'm saying?
So he got custody.
Probably.
The fact of the matter is, we're speculating about some other stuff, but the
right.
facts are, she went to court because of ranting on Facebook.
Right.
They banned her. Then it got appealed, and they upheld the initial decision.
Yeah.
That's wrong to me. I feel like if we are going to respect the Constitution and all of that kind of stuff, then respect it. Don't put loopholes in it.
Man, it's America, man. Loopholes and everything.
Yeah, when it's convenient for you know what I mean?
Right.
I get what you're saying, though. I get what you're saying, because that makes total sense. But it also says one nation
under
God. So, I mean, let's be real.
Yeah.
I ain't mean to go there, but...
Yeah, it sounds like y'all taking my position on this thing now, man.
Right.
What's going on?
Hey, I just call it spade a spade.
Ain't nothing like it.
Moving to our next topic. Team track athlete carries twin sister across the finish line. Two twin sisters running the track meet in 13-year-old twin sisters in Illinois in a middle school track meet, state track meet. And they was running, I guess, the 800 meters. And one sister said she got halfway through the run and she felt a pull and a pop and she just couldn't do it, so she fell out. A sister turned around, picked her up, and told her the rest of the way. It was like, let me see, to be accurate, it was 370 meters of the 430 meters left across the finish line.
Whew. I would like to know what place the first sister was in when she turned around.
Right.
I'm already losing. Okay.
Would you turn around, period, though? If I'm losing, it probably ain't no question. If you winning, that's what, when I read this, what really I questioned myself. Because I was like, when I turn around and get somebody, I'm so competitive.
Hey, man, look, man, ain't no sense of both of us losing. You know, like, why both of us got
if
losing?
If it was me, first thing I'm going to say, if I'd have said, I would have told you to keep going.
Man, keep going on everybody. I'm hot.
That's what I'm saying. They are twins, though. That's a little different from just my brother.
Okay, so let's say she didn't get hurt, and they were running, and the one twin was ahead of the other one. Do you slow down and let her catch you because y'all twins?
That's different.
No,
right.
So
it's
not.
Yeah, man, you might have some kind of empathy for her being
The child was injured, was hurt. Twin came back and got him.
Yeah, I'm going to come back and get you after I finish.
Hey, bigger than a race.
Yeah.
And that's what the little girl said. She said for me, it was bigger than that.
I get it, though. I mean, I respect. Would you do it?
Yeah. No hesitation. I would stop. I don't care what place I was in.
Yeah?
I wouldn't even hesitate.
I believe that.
I do, too.
I really do believe that.
I don't think, man, you would
stop. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe so at all. That's why.
Hey, I'll be back.
I got you, dog. Then when you ask me why I didn't stop, I'm like, you really thought I was going to stop you? No, you know I was trying to win. Come on,
hey,
bro.
I was going
to
come back.
You knew I was coming back, man. No starters today.
No, that's what's up, man.
Hey. Cool, man.
I respect it.
I thought it was cool. I thought the dynamic of it was cool, but I also questioned myself, and that's why I brought it up, because I was like, I don't think I'm going to stop. Sad as it is to say, but it's the truth. Last topic, and like always, we try to finish out on something on a good note. And since we kind of beat up on Jigga and Solange and Beyonce last week, I figured I would give a good update on the situation. Solange and Jay apologized to each other as flirty behavior blamed for elevator attack. Jay and Solange Knowles announced on Thursday that they have, and I quote, apologized to each other, end quote, and, quote, moved forward as a united family, end quote. Supposedly, designer Rachel Roy supposed flirtatiousness with Jay-Z prompted Solange's outrage and what all started the thing in the elevator. Remember I said last week that she was supposed to have words with Rachel Roy and Beyonce had to step in? Well, supposedly this is what it goes back to. This is still speculation on it, though. But
So Rachel Roy was flirting with Jay-Z.
Right.
That's why Solange went in at her. Well, why did she attack Jay-Z in the elevator?
I guess it could, you know how, okay, because we all been in this situation. Well, a chick come up on us, somebody else get in our business. Oh, they ain't got nothing. She see it ain't got nothing to do with it. Somebody else take it how they want it. So because when they come at us, you tell them, hey, that ain't none of your business.
Yeah.
Why is you worried about it? Now you get mad and trying to prove your point that you shouldn't have been talking to her. You just mad at the fact that I ain't recognizing you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that might have enhanced it. And she thought it was more than what it was.
Nope.
This is the kicker. Y'all know who Rachel Roy is?
Nope.
This is Dame Dash ex-wife.
At the point she was told my her business, she should have listened.
Yeah, pretty much. And that might be why Beyonce wasn't getting into it. Which, no, I take that back. That's been more the reason for Beyonce to be like, hey, you need to calm down.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Mind you, if I ain't mad,
yeah,
why are you mad?
And then, you know, not to say that this is the dynamic of their relationship, but Solange could be the mouthpiece of Beyonce.
Yeah,
you know, Beyonce ain't going to say nothing, so she do the talking for her.
And a lot of times it's like that, especially with sisters.
You know, so, no, I ain't going to get in and beat his ass.
No. Let's go back to this dang bad his wife.
Yeah.
This is the additional
information. You know, I didn't think about that last week when I said Rachel Roy, because I just knew it. I thought y'all knew, but then I thought about it, like, they can't know that's Dame Dash ex wife.
I know that before.
Yeah, she's always been a designer. I think she's from California or something. But Dame married her in 2005, not too long after Leah the passed. They started dating. She got two daughters, I think, with her. They got two kids. I don't know, both of them girls, one of the girls. And they was married until everything fell apart, until Rockefeller fell apart. And like everything else, when he lost it all, everything, you know, kind of up and left. I find it strange that she would be flirting with Jay. But you never know. It's history. And it might not be just history for Dane being his homeboy. But then you look at it like, well, if this was his old partner, ex-wife, they might just get down like that.
Or it was
misinterpreted, like they got a friendly relationship.
They may have just been talking to two people that are cool.
And we got to remember, Solange might not know who the hell Rachel Roy is either.
Or Solange might know more than we think she
Yeah, that could be true, too.
Well,
either way,
celebrities have issues, too,
Obviously. Moral of the story is mind your business.
Mind your business.
That's it. I just want to put it out there that they had many issues as a family, and that's what's beautiful. But the Rachel Roy part was kind of interesting. With that, we'll move right into today's show. As I close up, I end the note. Today's show, the title of the show is Breaking Down the Matrix. Boom. There it is. Out there for you. Now, just sit on it for a minute. Think about that. Could it be a movie? Could be a system. Could be your reality. One way or the other, we're going to do our best in breaking down what we think it is. Our first topic would be from a cinematic perspective. As far as looking at seeing the film The Matrix by Keanu Reeves and
Lawrence Fishburne.
Larry. Change the name.
Larry. Lawrence.
Are you Larry now?
His name is
Boys
Larry.
In the Hood.
That's
Trey name. Daddy. However you want to put it.
Silas.
What's his name in the movie? Metamorphosis?
Just Morpheus.
Morpheus. Yeah, I give him a name. But from a cinematic point of view, perspective, what's your outlook, Pete? Bones?
1999.
Yeah.
I don't remember a movie prior to, I could be wrong, prior to that had the level of special effects that we saw in The Matrix. From the details of the bullets and all that to the fight scenes to...
To The Matrix. The infamous, what we call The Matrix. Now, that move when you lean back.
I mean, it was groundbreaking.
Yeah.
I think.
I'm sorry. I mean,
go ahead. Good.
I was just gonna say from the imagery to plot, The Matrix is a groundbreaking movie.
Yeah.
Just the ideal of that cinematic type reality. That was groundbreaking. And who the Kowalski? How you pronounce it?
Yeah, something like that.
Kowalski brothers.
I mean, for me, I'm almost mad that I've seen it now. Because I had never seen the movie prior to yesterday. But I'm almost mad that I've seen it now because I don't even think I get the enjoyment out of seeing it in 99 where these things weren't relevant.
Yeah.
But in putting that in perspective and understanding that in 99 and realizing what was going on, that movie was way ahead of time. Way ahead of time.
Man, you seen it, what, 15 years later?
Yeah. And it's more relevant today than probably what it was probably far-fetched back then.
It was ahead of its time.
And it's still kind of ahead of its time right now.
It depends on which level you're talking on. As far as the graphics and as far as the cinematic.
Yeah, they got a little better.
Yeah, I mean, technology has improved.
Yeah, imagine it now. Wow.
That was pre-year 2K.
Yeah, and that's when everything took off.
Yeah. I mean, to go into the detail they wanted to, I don't know. I should have looked at how much it cost to make that movie, but I didn't. But I would be interested to know how much they spent to do that.
Yeah. Definitely. Okay. I mean, yeah, because you
got a crazy amount. I'm sure it was some ridiculous amount of money.
You
for
got
the graphics, the star-studded-ness.
Yeah.
Think
that's
about
true.
There are the actors that are in that movie.
Yeah, that's true.
What is Trinity's real name?
Oh, she got a... I think she's from Europe or somewhere like that.
Okay.
I think so. Because when I was looking at it, it wasn't no male, a female star in the movie name that popped out. You get what I'm saying? Like it was ours, was relatively known. It wasn't one. So, and the name I did see, it was like Jolie, something like that.
Okay. Well, yeah. The cinematic, I mean, I'm not big into that type of stuff, but that was, I saw it in that, and it was, to me then, it was like, wow.
Right.
Man, like, I ain't never seen nothing like this.
And seeing it today, that's what I'm saying, it almost can fit into today, but you'll look at it and you'll see some things that's lacking.
Yeah.
But like Bone said, the plot's so good, it, you'll kind of weigh that against that and it'll balance itself out. But it's a great plot. The way the movie's set up is perfect.
Which
I mean,
is, and we didn't tell the plot. I don't know. That's 15 years old. We ain't seen it by now.
They might want to go see it now. That's what I hope.
It's a movie about the system, the government. Not government. Is it government?
Not really.
Not really.
Not really. It's a computer program. Basically, we are all, the human population is all living in a fake world. And the world was generated, and these people are blinded, kept in a blind state because they're being used to...
The battery.
Yeah, feed the system.
And in the movie, Morpheus, isn't that correct?
Morpheus, yeah.
Morpheus, he says the Matrix is a computer-generated dream to keep the population under control.
Yeah.
So a computer-generated dream now. Get where I'm going. Computer, it's not your dream. It's a computer-generated dream. So you have your own dream. But outside of that, you actually function in a computer-rated dream.
Yeah, so you're living within a dream.
Right. But you ain't generating.
No. You don't understand.
Right, exactly. Exactly. That's the concept of it.
That's on the cinematic.
Yeah. On that
Are we ready to go into the intellectual?
Might as well. I mean, there ain't much to talk about in the cinematic.
Nah,
like we said.
Nah, really. Because there's so much lying underneath the movie there. Like the first time I watched it, I got it.
Yeah.
And then I watched it again and I got some more.
Mm-hmm.
But I've asked different people opinions over the years about this movie. I get into it. I don't like that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where you stuck on the sci-fi, you're stuck
right.
on the
right.
fighting, you're stuck on the shooting, you're stuck on the computers, you're stuck on, that's all you saw. Then you have people who...
Intellectual.
Yeah. They see it on, as a government, they equate Matrix to government. And I get that.
And it's similarities in the movie because even the guys working for the system,
mm-hmm.
which we'll go into later, but the guys working for the system are dressed like CIA agents.
Yeah.
So it's almost as if the system is, the outside system is the government.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And the government knows everything about everybody. They can control whatever they want to control at any given point in time. They can show up in a place and you can't get rid of them.
Get rid of them, yeah.
You can't run from them. You can't beat them. You can't, there's nothing you can do. Other than know who they are and prepare yourself for what they're about to do.
Right.
On an intellectual level today, how do we feel about that? Knowing what's going on with our world and within our government, was the movie on point?
when it comes to the sense of the lack of control, you really don't have much freedom, or you're losing a lot of the liberties, like we was talking about in the know-how. They basically taking this woman's freedom of speech away.
Yeah.
That's the matrix. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you have freedom. We're going to tell you free all day, but you free under our rule. As long as you follow our rule, you will continue to be free.
You're free to do exactly what we
tell
you
to
do.
You know what I'm saying? We're privileged to your information, your medical information, your credit information, your contact information. If we want, we can make up some and listen to your conversations if we want.
Yeah.
Well, we do.
Yeah.
They do.
We lose more and more freedom every day. And they wrap it up in a nice little package to tell you it's technology or it's the future. You know, yeah, take this, the next biggest thing.
I'm prone to say it's not that we're losing freedoms. It's just that we're discovering how much we never had those freedoms in the first place.
You're discovering it's a matrix.
Yeah. I mean, we never had those freedoms that we thought we had. They're not taking anything away. You're just waking up to what's actually been going on the whole time.
Yeah, that's true. And on an intellectual tip, I mean, the premise of it really is the fact that you are being, I had the word in my mind, and it's mind. You're mind controlled. You're being mind controlled. That's basically what it is. The system isn't put in place to control your mind intellectually. So much so that with everything going around you, you think it's your reality. But it's the system. It's not your reality. Your reality is when you sleep, i.e. the pill.
Yeah.
You want the blue pill or you want the red pill? Neon chick, he chose the red pill. So, you know, you go outside, or you can go on believing the way you want to believe. You can go on living in the system. But if not, this is the course you take.
I mean, when I'm going back to the movie, when Morpheus, when Neo first met Morpheus.
Yeah.
And he told him, you know, that thing that's burning in you, that question is why you can't sleep, is why you do this. And it's like, what is the matrix? And an explanation is the matrix is all around you.
Yeah.
It's everything. You live it. You breathe it. You touch it. You taste it. You feel it. It's the bondage.
Yeah.
Of your mind. That is the matrix. Now, the matrix can be a physical thing, but it's also an intellectual thing.
Yeah.
I think like you have your own personal matrix.
Yeah.
And then you have
the
mainframe.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. In dissecting the movie, like, it's impossible for me to go through every line of the movie, but I think every line of the movie is pretty much significant.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true, though. It's true. I mean, you got Trinity. This is when Neo's first approach, before the computer goes off.
Mm-hmm.
She walks up to him in a club where he didn't really want to go to and decided to go,
mm-hmm.
which is a dilemma that I find was kind of similar I could relate to. Being put in a situation where it's something you really know you don't want to do, but you decide to do it anyway because you're going to go along with everybody else. But you go there, and you still get a token in.
Yeah.
Because Trinity walks up on him. He don't know who Trinity is. And she tells him, I know the question you have. And I know what you're looking for. And I can take you to where your answers are. This is, to me, I can't go into spirits yet, so I'm going to leave that alone. But intellectually, she's coming to him and getting into his mind. Contrasting the matrix that got into the court.
I mean, you can comment on that from an intellectual. Just imagine you having a thought.
Right.
And you walk into the bank or you walk into anywhere and somebody walk up to you and be like, I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And I got the answers for you and I can show you this and I can show you that. I mean, whoa.
Right. It stops everything because you kind of, now you're trying to figure out how do you get where I'm at.
And I can't deny what you're saying. And because I want to know, it's kind of like that case in the two. I want to tell you you're wrong, but if I tell you you're wrong, I never find out what I want to know.
Exactly.
Oh, where were you at?
Where you at, bro?
I'm taking it in. You know what I'm saying? I didn't get the opportunity to refresh
my
perspective on the movie, but I've seen it several times. And I'm just going through it, trying to go through the movie on an intellectual level and just break it down to myself. All right, so, you know, okay, so he's within a dream state. He runs into, you know, the white rabbit. Trinity, you know, he follows the rabbit. He runs into Morpheus. Tells you, you know, we want to see how far the rabbit hole goes. All right, so he takes the pill. He wakes up.
Mm-hmm.
He wakes up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He wakes up and he looks around. What does he see? He sees he's behind the scenes now. He's opened the curtain. And he sees the actual machine or the matrix for what it is. Damn. They had me fooled.
Mm-hmm.
But look, all these other people that they still have fooled.
When he comes out in that chair,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, man. That right there, if that wouldn't scare the heck out of somebody, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't have felt too bad if he would have been like, no, I ain't ready for this. Put me back to sleep.
Yeah.
Put me back in the park. I want to go back in the park. I can deal with that.
I'm used to that.
You know, and the main villain in the first one, the one that was a part of their crew, turned on him, that was his state of mind. It was like, this reality is too much for me.
Yeah.
Put me back. I know this steak is fake. I know it's not real, but it's real enough to me.
Yeah.
I take that back more than being hungry, knowing that I'm in a war.
Yeah, it's true.
And many of our people, willingly or knowingly or dimwittedly, I prefer just to live in the system.
Yeah.
It's comfortable.
It's comfortable. I know it.
That is... You're intellectually, you have been mind fooled. Your mind is fooled to believe this is what it is.
You know, and it's sad for me to have to realize that there are some people who realize that they are part of this and just choose to do that.
As your boy, you was talking about, the one trading.
Right, you know what I'm saying? They just choose to do that. I'll give a little more to somebody that just, they don't know no better.
Yeah, ignorance.
Ignorance.
He said, that's what he said, ignorance is bliss. When he ate the steak, he said, ignorance is bliss. But it's one thing to say ignorance is bliss and don't understand ignorance. He was saying, I'm finna partake in this bliss.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think y'all starting to move off into level 3
in
this one a little bit. I thought I did pretty good keeping off of that.
I ain't ready for that.
Because, okay, so on an intellectual perspective, you went to the system. You wake up and you realize now that the system exists.
Right.
Before, when I'm asleep, I don't realize there is a system. I'm just here living my life day to day, doing what I need to do to survive until I hit them all. Now I realize that there's a system that's controlling everything. And I guess that's part of the first awakening.
Mm-hmm.
There's more going on than I initially thought. The system controls what I see on TV, what I hear on the radio. The system controls how I make a living. The system controls my health care. The system controls everything about my daily life. And now I'm aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
How do I combat that? What do I do now? Because I can't beat the system. Or can I?
You, in a sense of where you can make the system work for you, that's the way I see you beating the system. You know, you can't fly. Like you said, it's so integrated into our lives in so many different aspects that we have no choice but to deal with it. But you got to make it work for you. But when you do that, what's the first thing they're going to call you? They're going to call you a crook.
Yeah.
Is what they're going to call you, a swindler. You try and work the system to make it work for you, you go against the grain, then they're going to turn on.
I think crooks, this is me,
mm-hmm.
crooks get the label because they don't realize why they're a crook.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, a person who's not alert to the system, I'm alert to how I can make my life better. You know, I'm asleep. I can make my sleep better by cheating somebody else who's asleep. That's a crook. When I'm alert and I'm cheating the system, I'm not a crook.
Yeah.
I'm turning around and using what you thought you was going to use on me.
I know what you want.
To climb up on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can call me what you want at that point, but I know why I'm doing this. When I'm doing it out of malicious intent, no, I'm a crook.
I got that, but what the system gonna put all y'all in one back?
Yeah.
But I'm not really. Yeah. System,
you a crook, but that's who you're going up against. That's who can come at you like you a crook.
That makes sense.
Now, would you want the system to know that you're awake?
No, of course
no,
not.
No.
That's what makes you a rebel.
No. Let me tell you why.
I want them to know that.
Let me tell you why. And I'm thinking an example. I go in situations on a daily basis where I know that the individuals I'm dealing with see me in a certain manner.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I understand that. I'm okay with that. Because I see you in a certain way, too. But right now, in this business we conducting, I'm going to respect you. And you're going to respect me. Now, I'm walking away from you still realizing this is the system. And that I know you feel a certain way about me, and I know I feel a certain way about you. But at the end of the day, I understand that enough to know that I can deal with you on this level, and you're going to respect me because I'm respecting you. Now, if you don't, then no respect will be gained back from me. But I'm not going to handle you in a manner where you win or let you feel as if you dominate me. Does that make sense?
So in turn, what you do is let the system know that you're awake.
Maybe. Because sometimes the system probably get it, but who the individuals I'm dealing with inside the system may not understand. They think they're getting over on me.
They're just puppets. Yeah. They're the same puppet that the system is trying to make
right.
you.
Exactly.
All you did is stepped outside of the puppeteer.
Right.
Understanding that you're still in the show. I'm still in the show. You're just not the one who's controlling
right.
it.
Right, exactly. So I guess you're right. I just looked at it a different way, but it's the same thing. Yeah.
Because whoever is controlling, if you ain't, whoever is the puppet master, I'm still with it.
Where? Yeah.
You said every Sunday, like, okay. I just feel like once Derek and BJ, Corey and Tim and Tom and whoever else, once you are alert to the system, it's your responsibility
to react,
to alert other people.
Yeah.
However you choose to do that. But I think that's how you defeat the system.
I agree.
Not by attacking the system because you can't win.
You can't win.
But we outnumber the system.
And you beat the system, which is, it goes to show you what Neo did in the end. You beat the system by showing the system that I'm not afraid of.
Exactly.
And then by showing them you're not afraid of you, they become submissive to you now because they can't do nothing to you.
The reason the boogeyman exists is because you don't want to confront him.
Yeah.
Once you confront him and let you know he ain't scared of him, he ain't got no power over you.
He might find he ain't now.
There ain't no boogeyman.
That's the truth, though.
Who are you? Yeah. All the time, anytime somebody says something about the boogeyman, I'm scared to look in the closet. I don't want to go under the bed.
Right.
For the boogeyman. No.
Where you at?
Let me see you.
Yeah, let me go see the boogeyman. So, hey, I'm to the Thursday. This ain't got nothing to do with nothing. You do Bloody Man?
What I do what?
Bloody Man.
Oh, Bloody Man.
What are you doing then?
Why would I do something on
Bloody Man? Okay, so that answers the question.
Same reason. I can tell y'all being in the Booger Man.
Why would I do that? I don't believe in that.
I know you ain't doing Candyman. I already know that.
I just did that before.
You did Candyman?
I did it before.
Well, then you calling him out. You ain't scared of him now, though.
That's why I believe in Bloody Man. I believe in Monkey Man. Nah, let's keep going.
Monkey Man is this. Monkey Man does.
Yeah, we know Monkey Man is
this. We've seen him.
Whoa.
Back to your boy Neo. So one at the towards the end that I'm gonna talk to you since you just saw it.
Mm-hmm.
When he died and came back to life.
Right.
All right. died and came back to life. And when he was, when he revived himself,
mm-hmm.
he had a different perspective.
Right.
Okay. He saw the world that he was in for what it really was.
Right.
A bunch of ones and zeros and dots and all that kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. He began to see it for what it really was. And that's how he conquered the fear that
mm-hmm.
he had prior to that.
Right.
So he woke up. He died. He revived himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had a different perspective on an intellectual level. Okay. We got to first wake up.
Yeah.
Realize that it's more to this life that we're living than, you know, the money in your account, you know, the kind of car you drive and all that kind of stuff, your status level. It's more than that, because to the system, none of that matters.
No.
Because as far as they're concerned, they still own them.
That's what distracts you.
Distract yourself
yeah.
from what's really going on in the
yeah.
world.
They put it down for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, distract, you know, that we're taking your freedoms away. Distract that we're using the little man in all aspects within our own country and other countries. We don't want you to know about that. We don't want you to know about the oil that we're getting from Africa. We don't want you to know about, you know, the amount of money we spend on diamonds and stuff like that from these third world countries. We don't want you to know about that type of stuff. So stay asleep. Don't wake up and realize that is reality. So then I take it to the next level. You die. Okay, so you die from the amount of negativity, I'll say, and the way the system will begin to attack you and the angles that the system will begin to come to you once it realizes that you are awake. And the moment you're awake, they will realize it because you are creating a ripple effect within their smooth system.
Mm-hmm.
You're causing waves.
Mm-hmm.
You're causing waves. So now I know that you are awake now, so I'm going to attack you any kind of way I can.
I got to get you before you get somebody else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can't have your waves causing other people to wake up.
Like Neil. All
right.
They was after Neil.
Exactly. It was after.
First it was Trinity. That's how it comes on. And then if Morpheus finds out and he feels as if Neo is the chosen
one,
which you later on in the movie you go on to see, he probably is the chosen one. You know what I mean? It's up to your perspective and how you intake the movie. But for me, he was the chosen because he understood it. Going into that, I don't want to go into spirituality yet. It's hard for me to stay with the spirituality because when I seen this movie, I just have to be honest, that I totally seen spirituality. That's all I seen, but I'm going to stay away from him. On an intellectual tip, though, Bone, when he died the last time, because he died twice, he died to realize pretty much the Matrix existed. Then he went to it and he came through and they showed him how the Matrix worked. Then he fought the Matrix, the system, and he actually died. Trinity kissed him and brought him back. To me, that resonated in me because it was love. And I always say love conquers all. Even though he had fought, he had given everything he had. And he was going to win. He was brave enough at that point to attack the system and not run. The Matrix. The system. Whichever one. Interchangeable. And not run. But he lost. But love brought him back. I don't know if you caught that in the movie. When I caught that, I was like, wow.
See, I want to go get to that. To three? I want to go to that.
That's why I told you it's hard for me. That's why I'm trying to sit over and be quiet because it's hard.
Going along with where you were going to do, okay, yes, he woke up. Okay, for number one, you wake up to the dead life that you were living to see that there's another life within intellectual. I can live a different way.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't have to live under the constraints of the pressure that you apply to me to make me be who you want me to be, right? Then you say after that, he died. You have to die to the desires that you had asleep. Everything that you were fighting to get and you saw as important within the Matrix, you have to let go of in order to fight the Matrix. So you have to let go of that desire to want to be drum major.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be out front. You want to be bigger than life. You want to have this. You want to have that. Okay, cool. What was the third thing you said? After he died, then he refreshed himself.
Right.
He revived himself. I realized there's a Matrix. Now I've died to the things within the Matrix. In refreshing myself, if I'm not living with under the Matrix, then I have to be living under something else.
Mm-hmm.
That's refreshing. There's something else that can fight the Matrix. That's the refreshing part. He looked at the agents and he saw them as numbers. He saw them as binary code.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't who I thought you were.
Mm-hmm. You don't have the power.
Yeah, you
that I thought you had.
You're not even, I don't really
look at me and
not
even
real. You're not real. Yeah, reality has become reality.
Oh. So if you're not real, that means your weapons aren't real.
Hmm.
So now when three of y'all stand there with big water fires or 3-7, whatever y'all find out, I see you, and then I don't see you. All this, the man turned his head sideways, and they fired, and he just put his hand up.
Yeah.
No.
When you doing this?
No, I
ain't there no more.
When the system that we live in tries to keep you in mind control by what they feed you through media and what you experience, negativity on the job and all this. No, that don't work no more.
Mm-hmm.
Because I understand what your plan is. I understand your agenda now. You're not even real.
So then, from an intellectual standpoint, if you get that inside your own mind,
none of this stuff
matters. None of it matters.
It doesn't matter.
So much so that when he was walking by the girl in the red dress,
yes.
And he stopped, and Morpheus said, he called his name, and he turned around, and it was a gun in front of him. It was like, see, that's how easy it is to get distracted. It's put there for you to be distracted.
That's the whole purpose of it.
Pay attention to what you need to be paying attention to. I thought that was cool, too.
Now, should we live in this world and not enjoy life? No. That's not what
I'm saying. No.
Definitely not.
No. Just understand, all this stuff is going to fade away. None of this means anything. You can have your big juicy steak.
Yeah.
But just realize when you're eating it, this ain't...
This don't make me.
No. If I didn't have this, I'd be just as good with the adults.
That's peace. That's
the Matrix can't control you.
Yeah.
So now, I guess, we try to stay away from it as long as we could.
Yeah, let's stop struggling now. We can't struggle no more.
Yeah, we're here.
Let's go.
Moving, man, like, even from the character names and the references and the lines in the movie, like, you can't see the spiritual connection to this movie. I'm not going to say that. We'll just say, watch it again.
Yeah, we just want to open your eyes. Maybe, I mean, this is our opinion. This is how we've seen it. You may not have seen it, and we want to be able to gauge that for you. Maybe you can see it. If not, that's cool, too. It's still a good movie.
The woman's name was Trinity.
White Rabbit.
She had the White Rabbit tattooed on her. No, 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 no.
You see the White Rabbit.
The White Rabbit.
That's what made him go to the club. Yeah.
To me, what I said was, follow and you'll find. Like he said, seek and you'll find. Once he got to it, it was just a process from there. He didn't have to do nothing else after that. All he had to do was make the decision to follow. After that, everything else just came to him. Okay, now you awaken to the Matrix. We said on the intellectual, that's the system. What is that on the spiritual? What are you awakening to?
On the spiritual?
On the spiritual.
You're awakening to Buddy.
Buddy is real.
Yeah, Buddy, I mean, it's a straight Satan. It is the alternative to God. In that standpoint, when we go spiritual, because... For me, I'm looking at the whole setup, just him getting these thoughts. And I always say thoughts is just God talking to you. Now, that's me, my personal understanding, but I believe that. and he's getting thoughts, and he's getting woke up in the middle of the night, and he hears somebody calling him. He ends up going to the club. Trinity walks up to him, and she tells him stuff that nobody should know. He follows Trinity because, like you said, it's a catch-22. If you know that much, I got to find out what do you know. Leads him to Morpheus. Leads him to them. He learns. He's like Bone said. Then you go through this process. And this is what you point out. Let me see when you watch the movie. After he decided to take the pill and to go on the journey, he sat down in a chair, and it was like something came, like a liquid, transformed his body, almost like a transformer. It just transformed his body. And you said to me, you know what, that is right. And then I looked at you, and in that moment, I couldn't catch it. And you said, that's like the Holy Spirit.
It took over.
Yeah, it took over. It just took. And then after that point, he was never the person
never
he probably was.
Right.
And he was steady trying to find more. Even in the understanding that he couldn't beat the system, he wasn't scared of the system right now.
I go back to the very beginning. The story started with Neo. We saw the scene with Trinity and
mm-hmm.
all this and all
mm-hmm.
that, but the actual story started when we got to Neo.
Right.
What gave Neo the original feeling that something was wrong with life? Something is wrong with what I'm living. There's something else. This ain't all. You know what I mean? Because had he never got that initial feeling, that would have been a movie.
Right.
Yeah.
I asked that question because I feel this whole thing was, I look at it like this, God nudges us, let us know, I am who I am. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. But there are some things that I have for you to do. And until you accept that, until you realize that, until you get that initial nudge,
mm-hmm.
it's impossible for you to wake up to anything. I mean, why would you? Everything is good. And so when you say those people, there are some people who don't understand that there is a matrix. Go back to the part where Neo, when he came out, he was basically born again. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
He went through the whole, you call it a purgatory.
Yeah.
When he woke up and he looked around and he saw all the columns with all the little, what you call them things?
Incubators.
That signifies all the people who still sleep.
Still sleep.
All the people that I still have a plan for. All the people that's going to go through the same process that you're going through. And I'm sitting there looking at, wow.
Yeah.
I get so lost in me and feel like I'm the only one who goes through this. No, man, it's people who haven't even got to the initial understanding of God is real. Never mind, buddy. God
right.
is real.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Everybody knows, buddy. Everybody will be quick to tell you the devil is big. You hear that a lot. You full of the devil.
Mm-hmm. Quick to say that, but hesitate to say that God is real.
Yeah.
Why? Because we come here, we come from God, but we are given to this world.
Mm.
So inherently, we get acquainted with Buddy when we get here. Because it is.
Yeah.
Do you get where I'm going with
yeah.
that? Like he said, you're born into the matrix. You don't fall into it. You don't find it. You're born into it. It could be a system, but on the spiritual, it's the bondage, the slave mentality. It's what's
mm-hmm.
in your mind. From the words we're taught to, the food that we train to eat to, a right and wrong and everything else, that is what creates the bondage.
Yeah. Even if, go ahead, Paul.
I was just, still going through my process over here. And I'm thinking about, I say a lot of times, it's a process. Think of Neo's process.
Mm-hmm.
All right. At one point, when he was on the phone with the Morpheus, now you got me calling. Where Fitzburn, You know what I'm saying? He's directing them through duck here, going this elevator, go down. What is that?
Mm-hmm.
That was a battle or a struggle of his faith.
Yeah.
In a sense. Okay. I need you to trust in me so much that I'm going to walk you out on this ledge on this building. I just need you to know that I got you. I just need you to know that. Okay. I'm here with you. I'm right here on the phone. As long as you're on the phone with me, I'm with you.
I got you all the way here.
I got you all the way here.
Nobody seen you. But now you won't trust me when you get on out here.
Why?
And because he didn't, what happened?
Yeah,
they got it.
But to me, that was God trying to deal with our mind. God can't deal with my mind. My mind can't conceive God. It's too big. You want me to walk on top? You want me to walk on the ledge? I'm 100 stories off the ground. Now I know these people chasing me, but they chasing me on a solid foundation.
Mm-hmm.
If I fall, it don't matter that they chasing me. What's the worst they gonna do to me if they catch me? See, that's all the stuff the mind. Mm-hmm. But he already knew.
Yeah.
Just listen. Go a little further. I'm only talking to your mind right now because I can't get to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get you to follow me, I got who I need waiting on you.
Right.
Trinity, whoever.
Right.
They waiting on you so I can deal with the heart. But the mind is what's got to get you out of your mind.
That's the first battle.
Corey, got to get you out of your mind. You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking about me because I know me. That's how I saw that whole scene with them coming to his office and chasing him and this, that, and the third. It's like his mind wouldn't allow him to be. Now, everything he had told him to do prior to worked.
Yeah.
Why would you stop believing at that point?
Like you said, it was too big.
It's too big.
God is too big because we couldn't see on a level to understand that he got me right.
Yeah. No.
Fear overtook you.
I'm saying that's what it is.
Yeah, fear overtook you.
And
yeah.
Fear don't come from God.
Yeah. Yeah, fear don't live. No, no.
And God, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You said that, and that just triggers. God is not in the punishment business.
Yeah.
No.
I hear people say, oh, God is punishing me. Why are you punishing me, Lord? And he's not in the punishment business. He's in the blessing business.
We punish ourselves.
He will allow you
to punish yourself.
Yeah. He will allow you to
make your
own
choice.
Hey.
Just like
I tell you and you don't want to listen.
Hey, go on with them. Go ahead. See you later, Neil.
I'll be there too, though.
Yeah, I got you.
Now, maybe next time I tell you, go cross that ledge.
And what we've seen in the end, even Fishborn said when, as the process went on for Neil, later on he said he's starting to believe.
Yeah.
He got it. And then once Neil started to believe, bullets. A man was on a ledge when listening to God, but now he'll stand in front of a bullet and listen to God. Because his belief had changed, the process. This is the process. You ain't going to get it. Like they said, nobody makes the first jump.
And that's what they were trying to tell you.
Yeah, nobody makes the first jump. And Trinity was hoping that he can make it, because for that signify everything. But it ain't going to come when you want it either, Trinity.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? You got to wait on it too. Mm-hmm. It's just a whole process for everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of times people want to get us places where we can't even get by ourselves yet. And maybe you need to go somewhere, but you can't get there until you allow it to happen for you too.
Okay. So. You might have maybe you were the one.
Hmm. Yeah.
Maybe there is no one. Everybody is the one.
Yeah.
If they will allow themselves to
be the one.
There
it is. Okay, so for y'all, the oracle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What role in a spiritual sense does the oracle play?
She's a prophet. She's a woman, so a prophetess, but that's what they call her. The oracle is the prophet. That's exactly what that is in the spiritual sense. I believe in that. Some people don't. But I believe that God talks to certain people to confirm what he's already told you. Like if he tell you, I got A, B, C, D for you to do,
mm-hmm.
You struggle with it because you don't know, well, maybe this is just me. Maybe this is things I want to do. Or how can this be when I don't got no desire to do that?
Right.
I.e. radio.
Right.
I don't got no desire to do that. Why would I do that? Okay, so I'm going to give, since you won't listen to me, I'm going to tell BJ. He don't got no idea what you're struggling with
right,
inside
right.
yourself. He gonna come and tell you exactly what you already know. The thing with prophets and prophetess, and all however you say that, to me, I do believe that there are some that's real. I do believe that there are some that's fake. My judge is this. If you come tell me something God told you to tell me about me, and I don't know nothing about it, I don't believe you.
Yeah, I can understand that.
He didn't have to tell me. I didn't have to have some type of feeling, some type of thought, some type of anything about what you're telling me first. Because you are only confirmation. You
yeah.
are not God.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that totally. I'm going to go back to the same understanding. You smell yourself or anybody else.
Yeah.
yeah.
No, I can't necessarily say I believe in prophets, but I do think we receive messages from God through all kinds of people. Those are the lessons that stick with me the most. When I have conversations with myself and I can't find an answer, and then I get that answer from a random person through a random conversation, and that answer comes to me, oh, that was he said that to me. God said that to me. That was he used that person as a prophet. They may not be a prophet.
Right.
But he used them.
Yeah.
He used them as a prophet for me.
You know why? Because God knows that BJ
don't believe in prophets.
Ain't gonna believe in no prophets.
And see, that's where I was going with the whole oracle thing. You know, she didn't necessarily. She told each the message was different for each person she talked to.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And the message was simply whatever it was they needed to hear to realize their greatness. For Neo, it was he needed to hear that, no, you're not the one.
Yeah.
You're not the one. But that was what he needed to fuel him to realize that he was.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear her say that you're not the one. What I heard her say.
Not what you think.
I didn't hear her say, you're not the one.
She
took his hand, she looked at him, and
she said, what you're thinking is not as well. Something's down.
She said something, and he turned around and said, I'm not the one. And she said, sorry. To me, what she was letting him know was,
you don't
believe it.
Which is the same thing, yeah. Y'all saying the same thing. Same thing. And with her, I kind of got confused with her because I was trying to place what was the point of her, really. You know what I'm saying? I was trying to understand it. And then when I looked at trying to lay everybody in a format because I knew it was religion. So I was seeing Neo as the coming of man. So I was almost seeing him as Christ. Then I was trying to see, do you want to say Fishborn is God?
No.
And that was my issue because then if you don't, then you say he's Christ.
I think.
Because them was the disciples, Trinity and Judas, the dude who betrayed them, who couldn't even be a disciple, could even be seen as God's disciple.
Yeah, and he played multiple.
I mean, Jesus' disciples.
He played Doubting Thomas at first.
Right.
Because
right.
he doubted. He since his introduction into the movie, he was a doubter.
Doubter, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was a half belief.
He knew. He just wanted to unknow.
You're right.
And that's impossible. Like, once you, I mean, I can't. Erase your mind. The only way we can erase your mind is you lose it.
On that level that you that I would have to say Neo is man. He represents man.
Mm-hmm.
Fishburne represents Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And
Trinity represents God. Because until she breathed, that's why I said her. Until she breathed, until she kissed him and gave him, he was dead.
That's true.
Her name is Trinity. I encompass all three of y'all. It's me,
yeah.
You, and him.
I never caught that.
I ain't look at it that way.
She could have done it.
Yeah.
But then Neo would have never realized who he
and
was.
And she believed in Neo wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
So much she was hurt when he didn't make that first jump.
There it is. She believed it. She told him. I know you going when he was like, okay, put me back in Matrix when they had more.
Mm-hmm.
Put me back in. The Oracle told me that I was going to have to make a decision and da, 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 da. At that moment, it became real to her.
Mm-hmm.
She then turned around and started going to do her thing. Like, okay, you ready now? Okay, let's go. So he turned around and was like, where you going? And she was like, I'm going too. Because regardless of how much you think you care about Morpheus, it can never match what I know about Morpheus, how I feel about
Morpheus. Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at all that like, okay, she's been waiting on him the whole time. She was waiting on Neo the whole time. She let Morpheus play his role. She played her role. And then once Neo accepted his role, everything came together. So if we say that Fishburne can be related to Jesus or whatever, Neo is comparison to man. She is comparison to God. God let Jesus do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't gonna come together until man
figure it out.
Play their part.
Yeah, I told him it's the Trinity, Daniel. I told him it's it. And I don't know how, because if I could point out the fact that the love brought him back and it was her love, it should have been that, because I'm a big stickler on that love thing, because I do believe love conquers all. No matter whatever happens, I believe it. And it showed in this instance, because when he was almost, everything was around them was breaking down. They was finna get invaded so much that they was holding out hope that he would come back.
Mm-hmm.
And a simple, her kiss and love brought him back in that moment.
Morpheus was even worse.
Yeah.
Trinity never showed.
She never did. That is true.
She threw it right over Neo. And it was like, okay, this is the time. Now I'm going to give you the go ahead. So now we can go. That's just how I saw it.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. It's open to interpretation. We're not trying to feed y'all what we think. We're just giving y'all a perspective on how we think.
And that was a good perspective, because I never looked at it from that way. For me, you know, the oracle played the role of God to me, you know what I'm saying, giving you what you need to find the gifts that I've already bestowed on you that you have to realize. If you don't realize, I can't tell you your gifts.
Right.
Okay. You have to realize your gifts. That's part of my path for you. That's part of my lesson. But you have to earn it. It ain't a lesson if I just give you the answer.
That's true.
And that goes back to
the process.
When you said, do you think God is chastising? In a roundabout way, yeah. Because I can't.
Chastising, yes. Punish him.
No, not punish.
No.
You punish him. I'm going to continue to say that, because anything. In a situation I've been in, and I can only speak to me, in a situation I've been in, and it was a heartache and pain, and I allowed it to stay that way, it was because I didn't mentally get myself out of that point. I was self-pity.
Yeah.
Self-pity. It was just me self-pitying myself so much. And you think, and a lot of times, and I can speak on this forever, but a lot of times we justify self-pity because it validates where we at.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because now you can come to me and say something, and all I got to do is say back to you is, you know what I'm going through. You know what I mean? And that justifies it. But it also gives you empathy in that situation. Now, they feeding into it, if they do. If not, they'll tell you, well, I'm going through something too, and we need to both get up and go do something about it. And that's the dynamic we need more than anything else. And that goes into counteracting the matrix. Because that's the mindset the matrix wants you to have.
The matrix wants to keep on a spiritual level. For me, the matrix, which equates to Satan, buddy, whatever we want to call it, wants to keep us all individualized.
Mm-hmm.
And focused on our struggles, so that we never release and realize who he is and his weapon.
Yeah.
If I'm focused on where I am and what time I'm having and how I can't get out of la 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 la, I never realize that I'm using the weapon he gave me to kill me.
Mm-hmm. It's that negative killing. No positive, nowhere. So how you gonna strike a light, any kind of energy? It's just negative. It's negative. But I want you to point this out to you, because you brought this to me. When we got finished watching the movie, you said when Morpheus was in the room by himself, and they had captured him. And what they was called, the Caliban men or
the
something?
Agent.
The agents had him, which we would say now is buddy assistant or buddy, which would be the devil, working inside the system, had him, and they was trying to get from him information because all they needed was the information that was in his mind, and everything else would be irrelevant. Then the system would rain. But as long as he knew what he knew, the system couldn't function. So much so, it was three of them in the room with dude by himself. The lead dude said, hey, y'all get out. I need to talk to him by myself. Now tell me your point of perspective on that, too.
Well, what I said was I saw, and I didn't see this the first time, but you had two men face to face. You had one man, Morpheus, he's shackled. He got these, I don't even know what they call them, patches on your head when he's tied to the machine or whatever, trying to get his information mm-hmm. brand. He got the agent. He takes his glasses off for the first time in a movie. He takes his little earplug out. And he got a person. And he face to face. He actually touching him and he talking and you can see the rage in his face. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at, and I'm not trying to make this a racial thing. But I'm looking at a black man who is domineering to this person. He's bigger in stature, but he's weak.
Mm-hmm.
You see a white man who has used things other than his physical prowess. Because this man sitting across from him is weak, he tells him that even smell of you, the stench of you, I just want this over with so I can get away from you. Like, it's just like you just disgust me. I'm looking at this as the first time, like, why did the creators of this movie choose these two actors in this scene? What's the significance of this? Why couldn't it have been Trinity? Why was Morpheus even black to begin with?
No question.
Why was the damn, what you said, the Oracle, why was she black?
So much so that it was two, go back to the cinematic, two different actresses have played the role of the Oracle. Both have been black. So that's intentional.
Okay, so now I'm trying to figure out, maybe it goes back to the intellectual, but I don't think so. Why? What's the significance of race in this now? Then you have the two people when they on the Nebuchadnezzar. The two people who don't have the thing in the back of their head,
mm-hmm.
the free spirit, they were born right. Black.
Black.
Yeah. And now we do have to point out, it may seem like we're basing this on like a black and white base. This movie was made by white artists. They were Caucasians
yeah.
who made,
mm-hmm.
written and the director. But you did tell me some back.
I said that I did do some research because I wanted to know how these people came up with this concept. And in digging, I kind of found where it's allegedly they weren't the original writers of the movie. They stole the movie from a black lady. I don't know how true it is. Regardless, the movie did, I think, more than it was intended to do.
Yeah.
Much more than it was intended to do. But I'll go back to that thing because that thing was significant to me and I can't really understand why.
I think it's significant and I say this and I eventually go out here, but I don't care right now at this point. But I say it because it almost seemed to me, and like we said, we want to take race out of it, but you can't because color is color, and we see that. And the situation is behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the agent sitting there talking to Morpheus. Morpheus is the black man with all the knowledge and all the know-how. He has what the agent wants, who is a part of the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
He needs what what Morpheus has
mm-hmm.
to solidify whatever he's trying to do. If he can't get that, he can't do anything.
He can't go home.
Exactly. For me, it almost looks like we have something inherently in us as black men that is so strong and so powerful. Even where I'm weak and in front of you, if you can't take it out of me, You're disgusted by me because you are not, I won't say greater than me, but you see something profound in me so much that it makes you envy me.
It's something you want.
Yeah, it's something that you want. Now, listen, I'm not telling you how I project how I see things. I'm telling you how the movie played out. So don't sit here and say, I said, this is my scenario. No, no, this was in the movie. And if you look at it from that standpoint, it is what it is. And he never got it.
Yeah, never got it.
Never got it.
In fact, it's what led to his death.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's what led to his demise. Had he just killed Morpheus and been done with it and came back, we don't know how the movie would have played out, but you spent so much time and effort and energy on Morpheus. Neo snuck right in on him.
What they say, the two agents, you know, they're coming for him.
Yeah.
They're coming for them.
They're coming for
them. You wasted too much time. You had them, but you couldn't do what you needed to do.
What's in the room? Where you been? You ain't been listening? They're coming for
them. Yeah. Mm. And on the religious tip, though, it's so many, even when they first got Neo, this when they was taking the bug out of him that was implanted in by the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in the back seat of the car, and he was going to jump out. And he looked down the road, and you looked cinematically, they showed the road, and she said, you've been down that road before me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to go there again. And it was so, I guess, you can relate it to your own life and your own struggles. Like, we all been there.
It was just a long, empty, dark
road.
I took that to mean, for me, that meant, you know, you've been down that road. You've run away before.
Stand up to it.
That's all you known was running away. Stand up and fight this time. Stand your ground and fight.
And all actuality, fight was all within Neo.
Yeah.
Yes, he did physically try to fight the agent, and he lost.
He didn't win until he got it mentally.
When he got it mentally, he didn't try to fight.
No, there was no need to fight.
He gave up.
And it's all the time. What are we fighting for? Why are we fighting? But that's how I say we get ourselves in this self-pity, because you go to fight for yourself.
And can't win.
You can't win.
And get discouraged.
They go to self-pity.
Yeah. It's a circle.
Now you go to blaming the higher being, whichever it may be for you, my answer is God, because you feel like he ain't helping you, but you killing yourself. Ain't nobody killing you. You killing yourself. You want to blame everybody else and everything else. Get so much so you get mad with the next person because they're getting blessed because they ain't doing the same thing you do. But you're trying to get where they're at.
The part with the train. Like,
yeah.
I thought when I first saw it, when he was laying down, the agent laying on top of him, he got his arm around his neck and choking. Like, okay. Agent, you know what? Neo just jumped, like from laying flat, he just jumped up.
Mm-hmm.
He flipped up, and the train ran over the agent. He thought the agent was dead. He arrived. I did it.
Yeah.
That's the look. He walked off with that, I did it attitude. Train stopped.
Agent get off the train.
Agent get off the train, like, no, it ain't over. What that tells me is no matter how hard I fight, no matter the victories that I
win,
come up with. It ain't never over till I let him defeat.
That's the main victory.
That's the fight.
That's the Matrix.
That's
the Matrix. It's like you said all the time, Ball, that we have to realize we're in a war. We have to realize we're in a Matrix to even understand our own Matrix. But like you said, a Matrix don't have to be just defined to the overall Matrix. You could have a matrix in your own makeup, which you should, because that's the matrix you need to combat the other one. But just realize there is the matrix.
That's the one you need to defeat,
yeah.
Or you need to allow to be defeated so that you don't have to fight the other
one. The other one, exactly. The Morpheus said, the body cannot live without the mind. You agree with that?
True statement. Now, physically, and I had this conversation with one of my cousins a while back, a couple of weeks ago. I don't necessarily agree with that on the physical level, because we've seen people who live in a vegetative state.
Right.
Their
right.
mind is no longer functioning, but their body is. So I asked him, I was like, what's the one thing that you cannot live without? You can answer. So your mind sends signals to your fingers, to grab, to touch. Your mind sends signals to everything. I believe you get sick because of your mind. That's just me. I'm crazy like that. I believe stuff like that. But...
Wrong
laugh. That's okay. You can do that.
And I said he laughed so I can laugh.
Your heart.
That messed up.
The moment your heart stopped for me,
that's it.
You out of it. So that's what lets me know God don't deal with my mind.
He deals with your heart.
That's the only thing. Until my heart dies, I'm still living. If you may not be able to communicate with me, but there's a communication that can still happen because my heart's still on. And they put you on those, what machines called in the hospital? We just say the machine, he on the machine.
Oh, life support?
Yeah, that. It's not there to keep your brain bumping.
Right.
It's there to keep your heart going.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
We put a lot of effort into the brain and the thoughts and the this and the that and the that, but what about the heart? That's the most important organ in your body.
So you were saying, what I'm taking from what you're saying is that our connection with the higher being, would like to say that whoever you choose,
yeah.
me is God. Our connection with God is not through our mind.
He can't deal with your mind.
Our connection with God is through our heart.
Your heart, I see it like this, and I've said it to y'all a couple of times. We are threefold. You got your body, you got your mind, and you got your heart. The body is going to be what it's going to be. We know God can't deal with that. Satan got that. You can't control your flesh. You could be in church and she walked by with that. Your body going to react. Now, if your mind agrees with your body, you lost. But if your mind will follow your heart, you going to always win. Body can't. That's the fight to me. The fight is... Or the mind. Either the mind is going to go with body, or the mind is going to go with heart. He deals with heart. He lives in heart. Satan, you got body. You got flesh. You got that. It's out of shape. I do whatever I want to do. Some of us do what we keep it toned and all this.
Right.
Body is body. It's flesh. It's dirt. It's where it came from. So it's always going to be dirt. That breath that in Genesis, and I know we're supposed to be talking about the movie, but to me, my interpretation when he breathed into man wasn't living as a form. You had a mind then, but when he breathed, that's when the heart started coming. That's when
yeah.
he got up. That's when you became living. And the moment I take that last breath is when I stop heart. That's when I leave and you die.
Yeah.
Just to me.
No, I'm listening to you. And at first I was going to disagree because I feel like God comes through me and through my thoughts. But then when I'm listening to you more, I'm a firm believer in love. And I know that's all through the heart. And I think love conquers all. And I know God is undefeated, undisputed, and no recipe to be beat. So, I mean, it's kind of lining up the other way.
God is love.
Yeah, God is love. You know what I mean? So I get it. I do get it. And I understand the dynamic of the mind. If the heart gets the mind, we win. I don't care what the flesh thinking about. But it's that mind that matters.
Exactly.
It's almost like it's in the middle and it defines everything because wherever it goes, it's going to go.
But it's like a lot of our decisions as a non-profit organization.
Yeah.
Two against one. Would you
yeah.
like to say home or
yeah,
two against one.
Yeah.
Two against one.
If you got any form of three, if you got two on one side, that
yeah.
side is going to
win. Yeah. Numbers.
Numbers don't lie.
Strength in numbers. Let me ask you this. In the movie, it was said, as long as the Matrix exists, we will never be free. Do you believe that?
Yes, I do.
In the sense that we has to mean everybody.
Right.
Then, yeah, as long as there's a matrix, then no, we're not free because it's gone. As long as it exists, somebody's in it.
Right. Now, if you say as long as the matrix exists, I'm not free, then
I disagree.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was wondering, I thought about it, but, Bone, you broke it down for me, and that makes a lot of sense. Because I kind of was going to combat it, but now that you say, when you say we, yeah, because that means somebody's in it. So that makes sense.
So basically what it's telling you is that the matrix can never be defeated until every
Might
is out of it.
All of them tubes or incubators we've seen and that went up and down forever, they have to all be up there.
So
that's the scary part. That's the scary part. No, the scary part is waking up seeing that everybody is here and this is what we have to conquer. To kill the matrix.
The magnitude.
Right, of how big it really is.
It's seeing the big picture. Baby.
Right.
Now, keep that thought in one side of your mind. I don't care which side you pick, but keep that thought. And think about how quick we are to say, well, as long as I have, and all I got to do is do for me, and if I focus on me, and how does that mentality play into... Well, as long as one is in, we all
are. Well, are you saying, like, if I say all I have to do is this, and it's I feel as if it's just...
Basically, focusing on self.
Right.
Being self-focused.
Right.
Okay, I get it. And that's all I'm concerned with, is that I get it. I'm not concerned whether you get it or not. Well, in saying that, then you continually keep you and the rest of us in the matrix.
I get what you're saying. But for me, you know, you said something earlier about once you get it, once you realize it, it's your responsibility to wake up others.
That's what I believe.
You know, for you, not saying that this is true, but waking up others might mean running up and down the street yelling and screaming, hey, do this, do that, do this. For you, for me, walking down that street with my head held up high, not saying a word, but living my life the way I see is what's meant for me to become me, to be a better person, my blessings are going to show. So for me, it's just going to be a show and prove type.
Let me ask you a question. Why did you agree to do this radio show?
See, that's a tough question, though.
Right.
Why did I agree to do this?
Yeah. Why did you voluntarily, because you're not forced, why did you volunteer to come here every Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday to sit on here and talk on the radio about what we talk about?
Because it came easy. And I had gotten to a state of mind where thought for me was starting to hinder me. Okay, thinking about and over-processing and overthinking and that had become too much and became a hindrance. So for me, it started out as a conversation. Then it came a thought-out theme. It became reality. And then a microphone showed up. And then, it began to take over my life. It became everything I thought about. And I did not put forth any effort for any of that. So I don't know if I'm going off on proving your point. I don't know what I'm doing. But to answer your question, why?
You didn't do it.
I didn't do it. I had no hopes or aspirations of ever doing this, really. It just happened.
But you could have fought it.
I could have, and that's what I meant, where I have gotten to a place to where thought and thinking and fighting and struggling, no, don't do that, Barnett. That's not you. I could easily talk myself out of it, but I always do that. Okay, this is different. I don't know what this might be. Could be nothing. But I'm going to just go in at full steam and let whatever happen and learn from it whatever I can learn from it. It can open the door for another blessing. Some other avenue. Who knows? I'm just going to let go, though, and put these blindfolds on and follow my faith right through this damn door. That's just what I'm going to do.
And could I be reaching to say to the mic could have been I read in blue pill.
Huh.
I can say that. I can say that for me.
You know, the only thing that would make me not agree with that is because we can have these same conversations without this mic there. And we have for a long time.
Yeah.
So why is the mic here?
Because it changed his outlook. Everything that he's doing now, his whole world revolves around going in a different path. He sees the world different. Now he's outside of the matrix he was in before the mic.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in his own matrix, seeing the whole matrix.
Right.
So I understand what's going on.
To equate what I'm going through now with the movie, with Matrix, I would say I just popped up out the pod for the first time. I just popped up out the pod for the first time, and I'm looking around, and I'm seeing the magnitude of this thing that I just realized that I was in, this dream that I was in. I just woke up, and
mm-hmm.
I see reality for the first time, and it's scary, and it's exciting, and I'm kind of shaky. I don't know what to do. I'm looking at all these pods around me. I just popped out this pod, and there's all these other pods. These people still asleep. Why y'all ain't awake? That's where I am right now in my life.
So you asking the question, why y'all ain't awake?
Why y'all ain't awake? You know what I'm saying?
That's all I wanted to get to. We took 10 minutes, but we got there. Somewhere in you, you are concerned about others.
Yeah.
That's all you gotta be.
Yeah.
I'm talking about when we get lost in the, I ain't worried about nobody else.
It's easy to say, but your actions prove what you really
right.
are.
That's why you're sitting in front of the mic.
Yeah.
Because I know you are concerned
really
with,
yeah.
just like you are, just like I am. And anybody who steps out public format and speaks their opinion, it's because it's out of concern, whether it be negative or positive.
Yeah.
There's a concern about the general consensus of people. It ain't just you. Because if it was just you, you could have did it in private.
Yeah. I get that. That's a good point. That's a real good point. Because it kind of opened my eyes to something, too. Because I ain't going to say I was totally shut off and saying I don't care about the well-being of others. But my focus is on self.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I can get so closed into self, I can say I ain't worried about what you think.
Now, is that in your mind or in your heart?
No, my heart cares about everybody that I come across.
So now your heart winning. Mine keep trying to tell you it's just about self.
Yeah.
My heart won't let you. That's why you show up every week too.
You know how big my heart is, and this is crazy. I never shared this before, but I'm gonna share it now because it just resonates. My heart's so big. When I pray at night, I pray for everybody in the world. Now conceptually, I know there's no way I can figure everybody in the world won't be touched in some kind of way with home.
Mm-hmm.
But I pray God. For everybody in the world, no harm comes. That's how big my heart is. Now, my mind will sit here and say, in the next minute, we have a conversation, you say, such and such is doing this, and they're doing that, and I don't agree with it. I'll be like, well, I ain't worried about what they're doing.
That ain't my business. I don't care.
But that's mine talking.
Yeah.
I'm learning.
We all learn.
I'm learning. I want to get to the point where I'm like Neo at the end, where it's almost like, come get you some.
Right.
Well, I can stand here, and I see you as numbers. I'm not there, and like Bone said, we all in a process. I'm coming out the tube, I'm seeing the world for what it's worth, and I'm going through my process. But I'm grateful for the fact that I was able to realize the matrix is outside of my matrix.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the only matrix. Because a lot of people don't get the fact that when you say matrix, they think it's just one. Oh, yeah. But you have a matrix. And if you don't, you need to create one, because how can you combat something that you don't own? It don't belong to you, and it don't belong to God. So I don't want no parts of it, really, to be honest with you. But, like you say, we born into it.
That is, you can't stick.
So what are you supposed to do here?
Create, which is so basically create your own matrix or create your own reality.
Yeah.
You know. But yet, we talk down on people for creating their own reality. Like you live in your own world. That's not reality. Well, what's wrong with that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if your world and your world, if you are comfortable with your world and you have a being that is directing you in your world, the only thing I have to determine, the only significance your world has is whether I fit in it or not.
Yeah.
If I don't fit in your world, then that don't mean that your world is wrong. I would just be wrong for trying to force myself into your world. That's yours.
So if I say I don't care about that, is that taking the same content as me saying I don't care about others?
I don't think so. Well, I don't think that, I'm going to say it this way. I won't say that I don't care about your world because I can learn something from your world. Your world has taught you something. You're still here, so your world is significant in some way. Whether I fit in it or not, I can still learn something from it.
If we're addressing your world, it doesn't mean something.
That makes me agree with you because I'm over here. I'm struggling to agree with you on that. But that right there makes me agree that something about your world, I'm gonna learn, I'm gonna take something from it. I'm a caring person. I care about people. But when it comes to this, though, I'm selfish as all outdoors
mm-hmm.
because my path is mine. My lesson mm-hmm. is mine. You know what I'm saying? We might be heading in the same direction. And with that, yeah, I care about you.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as what you got going on, be completely honest with you, I could care less. I mean, I got to get me together. Because if I can't get me together, anything I touch is not going to be together either. So I got to get me together, and that's my outlook on it. And because of that, maybe I'm selfish. Maybe, and that's maybe an area I still need growth in. Because,
let's see. But you recognize, if I go back to this, I get where you're going, but what would be the need for you to discuss your growth with anybody else if you weren't
trying to help
him? Yeah,
because it's for me. I'm not telling.
He might not be, and now this is not me talking for Bone, but I guess it is. But he might not be at a point yet where, like Neil, I mean, like Morpheus said for Neil, where he believes strong enough in what he's going, his process, to be able to realize he needs to speak out. Is that okay?
Me speaking out right now is for me.
The fact that you sit here and say and address the fact that you could be too much in yourself means you going through a process.
Could it be that you don't realize that there is something else that has you here talking right now because I want somebody to hear what you're going through.
Oh,
I want somebody. I want
think
you
believe
to
that.
Be.
I can believe that.
Okay.
I can believe that, but just me.
It's not yours.
It's not mine. Yeah.
I got you.
Right.
And that's the process. And that's what we're saying.
Yeah, it wasn't yours, though, if I'm understanding correctly, and it wasn't mine, because we would have been doing this a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like, we would have went to school for broadcasting.
Right.
That's not what we wanted to do.
Right. And I think we all going through a process.
Well, we got a caller. I'm going to try to get a caller in real quick. 111.
Hello.
Go ahead, caller, you on there. State your name.
Yeah. Okay, I saw the description titled Breaking Down the Matrix. Are you guys talking about economics, politics, or just general local social issues?
Well, we're basically touching on all of that. We broke it down from a cinematic perspective. We went into an intellectual perspective, and currently speaking on a spiritual perspective of the Matrix, which, you know, so it encompasses all of that.
But we would be interested to hear what the Matrix is to
you. To
you,
exactly.
You know, the Matrix to me, especially economically and politically, is brainwashing. There's a number of people who go to work every day, get up, have families, do their normal routine, and they don't realize that they're doing what other people want them to do, thinking, though, that they're doing what they want to do. So to me, it's a sort of a mass hypnosis. Does that concur with anybody there?
Yeah, I heard what you said, and for me, I relate to what you said. I think it totally comes down to the fact that it's brainwashing, and it's brainwashing. It's put in place to get you to do what the system or the Matrix wants you to do. I don't know how my other co-hosts feel.
They basically sell you on something as a need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they make us believe that we need a job And for them, it's just a means of income, you know, but they make it believe that we have to work within their system in order to be, you know, stay afloat, so to say.
Right, right.
I didn't hear the whole comment. But I would think,
who's in charge of the Matrix?
There you go.
From a spiritual standpoint, I would say the Matrix is driven by Satan or a buddy, as we like to say. From a practical standpoint, the system of those that are in control. I mean, and that doesn't have a color to it. I mean, so I'm not going to sit here and say, I mean, those that are in positions of power that control, that are allowing the interjection of negative to be spread in the brainwashing, are just pawns in the game. They're pawns also.
I would say that, and we did this before, there's a certain number of people that control the wealth across the world, not the nation, the world. They run the government, they run the military, they run all of that. Those are the people, to me, who are in control of the nation.
Well, okay, from what I'm getting is that Satan is the overall ruler of the world, therefore the spiritual context controls everything else. And then the last person just said, you believe that the whole world is controlled by a certain group of people. So that means then is that right, or did I misunderstand?
No, you were right.
Oh, okay. So who do you think that these certain groups of people are, and what's their major goal?
Well, I can't tell you who they are, but control, dominance. If I can take control of everyone, then I have my way ultimately. Whatever, I can't tell you what their agenda is. I have no idea.
Well,
but I do believe
my
idea. That.
Okay.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, my idea is that's pretty close to yours. I do believe that the world is controlled by whoever has the most money and the most power. Most people probably think that it's individual governments and the strongest control the world. I don't think the USA, being a superpower, nor Russia or China, really are under their control of the so-called politicians who supposedly are in office to look out for the best interests of the people. Now, I've got a question for you. Some of you might know the answer, but if you don't, very few people do. What is the major cause of death on the planet?
It's an heart disease?
Huh?
The major cause of death, is it?
Cause of death?
The major cause of death.
It's heart disease?
I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that one.
Okay. It's a term called democide. In other words, it's not war and it's not plague. What it is individual governments, like under the control of Stalin, Mao, Hitler, and the guy in North Korea, whose agenda it is, and has been, to kill their own people. Some more people have died under the hands of their own government than they have by war. So the enemy hasn't killed people as much as the so-called politicians. So to me, that's important because I believe that the United States, Russia, China, etc., they're under control of the people that you believe controls the world. I believe it's probably, I don't have any absolute proof, but I believe it's probably the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers. Some people say the Jews, I don't know. But the Rothschilds have been around for centuries. Rockefellers were supposedly funded by the Rothschilds. They went into the banking arena. And they and the Rothschilds and probably a few others, because of their banking interests and because of central banks, and I know a little bit about central banks, control the politicians. So when somebody says, that they believe the world is controlled by international globalists, international bankers in particular. I believe them.
You know?
So I don't know for sure if the Rothschilds own the Federal Reserve, but to me, they probably do. And their major agenda is to kill off everybody. And they want to become gods. It's what Alex Jones preaches, but when you take a look historically at Nero, Caligula, Caesar, other demigods, other dictators, you'll find that they, a thread that runs through them is that they wanted to become gods. And I can't see why nowadays, without technology, why that agenda would be any different.
Mm-hmm. I agree on that one.
Totally agree.
Can I ask a question real quick? We don't have a whole lot of time left, but have you heard the term or are you familiar with eugenics?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, that's the agenda of the people that you're talking about. You know, they want to reduce the population from 6 billion to about 500,000. And then my own opinion is once, if, and they probably will get down to that, is that there'll be warfare amongst the giants. The warfare amongst the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the other powers that be, in order for one god to survive.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. Like I said, I'm not trying to rush you off the phone. We don't have a whole lot of time left.
Oh, okay, no problem.
Very much enjoyed and appreciated your call.
Great insight. And we learned something, and that's what we look forward to. Call back. Please. You're welcome to call back. Anything.
All right. Well, take care, guys. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks. We appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. So, with that, I mean, hey, man, that was a good call. That was a real good call. It gave us a perspective.
That lets me know I'm not as crazy as somebody might think.
That was for you.
That was for me. That was for me. And the average person, you can line up 15 people and explain the process and show proof of how this system has been in place and how they've been working the system over the years. And out of 15, two might believe it.
Yeah.
Because it's too outrageous.
Well, you inside the matrix. So how can I believe outside? There's nothing to combat that. You know what I mean? Once the 15 people you're taking inside the matrix.
Right. Eugenics comes down to, and maybe we should do a continuation, I don't know, but there are certain aspects of life that we deal with daily that are attributed to eugenics. AIDS is one of them.
Yeah.
Cancer is another. Homosexuality is another. Media is another. It is deep, man, and it's any way kill off, I'm going to just say it that way, a mass group of people. War.
Mm-hmm.
They control militaries. That's why they're trying to combine it. We're trying to combine it into a one. We want a one banking system. We want one world military. We want military to be the police. We want one unified government. Why? With all the countries around the world on these seven continents, why would you want one anything? Because that has to mean there is one set of people who are in control, and they agree.
I mean, it even speaks to our caller. I mean, he said the same thing. Like, he asked us what was the number one killer, and it comes back to that's what it was, you know, these dictators trying to kill off this big spans of people and cultures and stuff like that. So, yeah, man.
What scares me is America thought that they weren't ready, and they thought September 11th was something. That was just a warning shot. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was a warning shot. That's nothing compared to what they're working on. Now, you can believe it if you want to.
That bothers me.
It's
but
true.
Nothing scares me. Because I say it all the time. I went undefeated, undisputed, no recipe to be beat. So I really believe I can go through anything, and that's how I think.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean I'm welcoming to everything I see, because I'm still flesh, you know, but yeah, it bothers me. It bothers me a lot, but it don't scare me.
For me, the reason I study these things and the reason they're significant is to me, I know I can't beat them.
Right, right.
It's not to defeat you
to
in your plan.
Right.
It's to understand your
plan. Right.
Knowledge.
So that I'm prepared.
Yeah.
Knowledge
yeah.
is power.
That makes sense.
To carry out your
that makes total sense.
Knowledge is power.
That goes back into why I feel it's necessary for, okay, if I get something and I understand something and there are facts and proofs to back up what is being said, it's my duty to pass this on. Whether you believe it or not, or you want to accept it, is on you.
But that's, and then to that point, it's also, it may be my duty, but I have a duty to you giving it to you to have to believe it myself.
Exactly.
So if I'm not at a place yet where I feel comfortable with it, I must be don't believe in all of it. So if I can walk through that process, like Bones said, he getting there. It's just a process. And once he gets there, he's going to be more outwardly talking than probably me and you. You know what I mean? He's going to stand up just like Neo did in the movie and say, come get yourself now. Because
yeah.
what I'm standing on, you can't do nothing with.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah.
And that's how we
yeah.
treated it.
Yeah.
On that note, man, I see y'all on the way.
There you go.
Well.
Been fun, man.
Hold on, Maul. Let me close them out. And
yeah, nah, I ain't doing
nothing. I don't want that DJ, boy.
Yeah, I ain't doing nothing. I got to get ready, though, right?
Women ain't fighting, so he's good. He's good.
Get
good.
Ready.
I'm just messing with Maul, man. Hey, listen, man. I enjoyed the show, as always. Enjoyed talking to you guys. And this was just our perspective of the movie. You can see the movie however you want, however you like. That's fine. We believe in being open, and that's what we want, being open. Now, if you took something from it, hopefully you got a jewel. If you didn't, that's okay, too. Thanks for listening. That's all it's about. With that being said, lock your doors and open your hearts to the Lord. It's hard, but it's fair. One love, JWJ. T-O-A-B-I.
When I see my prodigal son is shining. I yawn and stretch and get dressed for some mountain climbing. I wear it well, but this is not by my designing. The inevitable has impeccable timing. And if you left it up to me, I'd say never. Only God could have brought us back together. And all I say is I obey, you see. The family tree is tatted on my back forever. And I feel purpose. The Salvation Army's at your service. Act like it hurt it, cause our only challenge is balance. But I believe that the will of God is perfect. Now let's go.
Look at the way he talk. My whole attitude is mine, and it's so false. Give a right to scripture, hope you get the picture. It gives me the answers to my different issues. Life is pain, we can compensate and bring the light over and over. The bills keep coming right. The devil's gonna test you, but really no pressure. Just believe, have faith, and he'll direct you. Diamonds and dollar signs, they on my red slippers. Money maker in my time, happy hour tipper. Secret as my rhyme, just to help the crime rate. Hope my words change your life, tell my people safe.
And I can't see if that's true.